This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
We're sans producer Aaliyah today.
We are. She is unwell. We sent her home. We said goodbye. So long. Come back when you're better.
Yeah. We, you know, we're a small team. We can't afford to have people just like getting hit. Mm. We, you know, what, in a real way, radio show, breakfast radio shows have been quarantining before COVID, before it was trendy.
So true.
We were like, absolutely. And then we burn everything that she touches just to be safe.
Yes. But we are also strength in numbers.
That's true, because we don't have many of us. So it's a real double-edged sword,
truly.
To be fair. Look, yes, producer Aaliyah, she's not here. That doesn't mean we can't run this new Tuesday favourite segment.
Am I the asshole?
Now, we do not have the am I the asshole that she hooked us through yesterday.
Mm.
That will be coming next week.
Certainly.
But in the interim, we still have a juicy one to do with dating.
Yes, yeah, so these, of course, are found from people who post on Reddit and they would like the world's opinions on whether or not they are the arsehole. It is up to Jules and I to determine whether or not they are. We are judge, jury, and executioner in that regard.
Indeed. It begins. Okay, so I've been talking to a guy online for the last couple of weeks. Everything has been going good, and we're talking about meeting in person this weekend. However, I realised his pictures were all waist up, and just now I asked for a full body pic, as you do. He sends me one and is in a wheelchair.
Oh.
I don't know how to navigate this situation. I need to reply to him sooner rather than later. But do I address the elephant in the room and ask why he's in a chair? Is that rude, or do I pretend that he's not? Am I an awful person to even be reconsidering the whole thing, meeting up with him, given this new information? I feel so bad and awkward. How would you handle this with me if you were me? I don't want to offend anyone. Just never been in this situation before. Am I the arsehole?
It is hard, isn't it? It is hard. First of all, because obviously not the guy's fault that he's in the chair, but in saying this, if that's part of who you are,
mm-hmm.
like I do probably think you should have that in your photos if you're talking, yep. if you're meeting someone online. Like if you are a certain, if there's something about you, like for me, I have a shaved head.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing hats in my photos. Like I'm not using old photos. Like if someone met up with me or saw me without hair and that was a surprise, like I wouldn't like that. I actually tell you what I do sometimes do. And I did this actually at the gym yesterday,
mm-hmm.
is that when I was doing like a group.
Swiping at the gym?
I'm not under the daps at the moment, but I was at a group exercise class in the afternoon and I was wearing a hat because I sweat a lot and so you said to catch sweat.
Sure.
And I had been very, like making very small comments with this girl that I was like training with because she was in the small group that I was in, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like super flirty, but I was like, oh, look, if it ever got a bit flirty.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I'm talking to someone that I'm like interested in and I've been wearing a hat,
mm.
I'll take the hat off and then like pretend to like itch my head or like pat my head down from sweat or something.
Right.
Just because I need to make it clear that I don't have hair, because just on the off chance that is a concern for someone.
Yes.
And so before we proceed, the guy should have photos, and because you should never hide who you truly are.
That's true, but maybe he feels like he needs to do that. Because otherwise people would just immediately make the assumption before they get to know the person and the personality.
Yeah. Well, that's where I guess it brings us to this very specific situation.
Yeah.
Because she's reconsidering, but she's been talking to him for a few weeks and seems to really like the guy, like enough to have, you know, because a few weeks of just chit-chat online without ever having met, that's like you've got to have something about the connection there, right?
I have been in a similar situation, but not a wheelchair.
Okay. What was it?
I matched with a guy on a dating app who had, I'm not sure what the technical term for it is, but like a lopsided eye.
Oh, lazy eye?
Not a lazy eye, but like.
It was active. It was just in the wrong direction.
It wasn't where the eye was supposed to be. And I figured it out that I'd been almost, not catfish, because that doesn't feel right.
So just so people, I guess, listening along and even so I can imagine. So if you, your eyes are, I guess, on a standard person, they're level like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like
the eye was doing a 90-degree turn.
Like it's almost like it's melted off him
yes.
a little bit. Oh, interesting.
Yep. I only figured this out because I think he was in the entertainment space.
Right.
I'd Googled, stalked him.
Could.
Found his headshot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was vastly different to any of the photos that he'd put up on his dating profile. I go back to the profile. There's a photo from him from the back, photo of him putting his hand over his eye, cupping it.
Okay.
Like,
so you thought he was being coy, but he was actually trying to hide
something.
Yeah, well,
he had like this playful sort of expression on his face, and there's other ones where it's just one side of him. He's deliberately put photos up like that. But then I'm like, am I the asshole for like judging him there?
That brings it to this. Here's the thing. For this woman who has there's two sides. I think it's so hard. If initially she had seen the wheelchair and wasn't into it, then like that kind of sucks because you know you don't want to judge a book by its cover. But unfortunately, that's what the apps are a lot.
Yep.
But you know at the initial get go at the matching stage early days, if you're not into it, then you don't have to engage. But again, you've been talking for long enough to, you know, develop a bit of something.
Yeah, that's it.
I would, if I was her, like I'd go on the date and then like, because, you know, you've obviously gotten along personally. Mm-hmm. And then if it's a great date and then see what they say.
Yes.
That because it'd be interesting because I'm sure they'd be aware of what they've done. Like, you know, there could be that incredible and like it could be the best person you've ever met in your life and you just don't know, but you turned off for one singular thing.
What about the guy in the wheelchair? How's he feeling? He sent a full body pic and she's still like not responding. He's probably like, I'm clearly sent you something.
Yeah.
Make a comment on this. This is probably a pivotal point in my life. It's pretty rude that you're not addressing it.
Yeah.
From that perspective.
He would have, and honestly, and from what I understand, I've spoken to a few people who are in wheelchairs or, you know, otherwise, you know, physically abled, and their whole thing is, they like when people don't address it or choose to ignore it or like try to play on, they're like, it's weirder because they're like, no, I know I'm in a wheelchair. Like, it's not a secret.
Yes.
It's weirder if we try to be coy and play around about it. Mm. So she's thinking about not going and, you know, thinking about, you know, disappearing because of the wheelchair. I think that makes her the asshole.
Mm.
I think if it was a little bit earlier and she'd said no, then it would be fine. But no, I think she should go because it could be a good guy.
There is an update.
I like it. I should honestly be getting, I should get a little sting that says update because that sounds
there
great.
Always is an update on these threads, right?
I need update ones. What's happened?
She's gone on the date.
Yeah, love to hear it. That's excellent. That's
and they click
do.
So well. They're looking for a second.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's why you do it, people. Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. why you do it. And man,
we're seeing love blossoming from am I the asshole initial point to forget the wheels.
Assholes can be beautiful too. You know, forget the wheels. Oh, isn't that lovely? And honestly, there's so many apps and stuff, right, where it is so like focused on aesthetics.
Oh, it's designed to be.
But then you do meet up with somewhere. She's obviously not thinking too much about the aesthetics, like a little bit, but not too much. And it's going well.
Yay.
Are there any apps that are not at all looks-based? Like I know that almost feels dangerous, but.
The original iterations of dating apps were like chat rooms, weren't they? Where it was basically like you come up with a username, maybe you fill out a profile section, and maybe you add a photo. Don't know if that was required or not. I imagine those, which also reminds me of like, you remember Omegle in our high school days?
Yeah, I remember Omegle.
Are you being catfished by this? Or even like someone on MSN. So that worries me that like almost you need a photo for that to check go through Google Images and make sure they haven't just randomly pulled someone's photo.
But maybe you do this. Maybe how's this? We're designing a dating app right now, where it's you apply to be on the dating app, or like you put your profile in, and someone that works with the app, we just verify. We ask you to verify, like you know, you send a photo, and you know, I think one of the apps is like send a photo of you with your head, and we'll verify it against these other ones. Make sure you're real. Verify the profile, but your profile person doesn't see it
until they meet up.
Until you've you know, you've exchanged X amount of messages. So after 10 messages, you get a picture.
Until you said the messages point, that is exactly how The Bachelor works.
What do you mean?
Well, the casting director gets the photo and gets all the details, and then they rock up on the date.
Interesting. Yeah, a Bachelor dating app, effectively.
Rose ceremonies, of course.
What's Love is Blind? That's a TV show.
That's great.
What is that, though?
That's
what's the premise? Is it about not? Is it
that
about,
is exactly it? Yes,
it's about what not knowing what they look like.
They sit in like little pods, these little rooms, and on the other side of the wall is a person they're talking to, and they talk through the walls, and they can hear each other and chat for hours if they want to. They can leave the room and they can go somewhere else and have a chat to someone else on the other side of the wall.
Oh, how interesting!
And then they decide after X amount of time to meet. And then I'm pretty sure, like, there has to be a wedding at the end of it for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, they get married before they've even seen each other.
They get the initial meeting.
Okay.
And then it's kind of like
good.
Wedding is going ahead. but we'll find out at the altar if we're like breaking things off or not. Super awkward for all the guests.
That's wild.
Yeah, and there's one couple that's still together and has had like two kids or something.
Oh, they've been on nice. Reunions. I love that. That's so good.
Yeah. And the whole thing was like, oh, they're of this race. They're not going to get along with this person. So it was hugely controversial at the time.
Oh, that's amazing.
But the whole point is love is blind.
I think I would need to see my partner before I could. I just think, I don't know if I could get past like, I don't know. What could I not get past? I don't want to like say, because I think that might be rude. But like, because I mean, this is rude. Maybe a wheelchair would be pretty hard because I am like, you know, like I run and I play soccer and stuff.
Yeah.
But I suppose they have wheelchair soccer.
They have so many things for wheelchairs.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Love is Blind. Who knows? Get me on that show. See what happens.
You should watch it.
Is it on Netflix?
Yes. I think I watched it in the peak of COVID. So watch it.
Oh, it feels like a very great. Honestly, it was a show made because everyone had to quarantine that way.
Yeah. They're like, we get it. We're stuck in a room.
Incredible. All right. Well, that's your recommendation. You get a Netflix recommendation as we also try to figure out who the arsehole is.
Am I the arsehole?
Ultimately, are we saying she's not?
Nah, she's not.
She's not the arsehole. If she didn't go on the date, she would have been, but she did. Mm-hmm. And even if it was a bad date, she wouldn't have been. But it's worked out, and that's happy days. Enjoy the rest of the podcast. Producer Aaliyah back with us tomorrow. When we sent home, Jason Ackermanis, the former Brisbane Lion, kicked off SAS Australia on the opening night for honestly just complaining a bit too much.
I don't know if I've cracked a bone in there.
Doesn't really look swollen, does it?
No, but it's painful.
There's not a history there of a fracture. Yeah, it's certainly not more swollen than the other.
I get a discharge or I have to just hear my, I just say I can't physically do it.
But I'm not seeing anything here that would lead me to think I need to medically take you off the course.
Audio there of Jason just complaining about a non-existent foot injury and the doctor saying, mate, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Just get rid of him. Stop his complaining. Jason.
You do get sent home from time to time, though. Reality TV obviously happens all the time.
That's the nature of the show.
It's the only way you get to leave.
If it's at school, if it's at work, whatever reason, whether it's funny, we want to hear from you.
We sent producer Aaliyah home this morning. That way, if you've given us a call on 131060, you were speaking to me and not her, because we sent her home because she came into work and was sick. And we're like, mate, you got to get out of here.
What are you doing?
What are you? Absolutely. Yeah, exactly right. You got to think of yourself. Think of it. What are you? I don't know. Go to the phones right now. Over to Heathcote. We've got Bianca who's given us a call. Bianca, why did you get sent home?
So it's probably when I was in like grade 3, grade 4. Mm-hmm. I just got my first pet mouse and I decided to bring it to school.
Your first pet mouse, Bianca?
How did you sneak it in? Or was it like, did you have a container or did you just bring it in your pocket?
I put it in like a little cardboard box with a couple of holes and chucked it in my school bag.
Okay. Do you think that no one would hear it?
Surprisingly, no.
So talk us through, because you've been sent home. How did it get discovered? Did you bring out your pet mouse out at lunch, or did
show and tell?
Did it get out in the classroom? What's going on?
So you know, obviously, like, you know, in primary school, you know, you have your like little area where you keep your bags. So I'm just like, oh, you know, I'm going to go check on my mouse, and one of the girls happened to be next to me. She screamed.
She gave you away.
Oh, yeah. She gave me away.
And what did the teacher say in that moment, Bianca?
She was a little bit shocked, understandably. She had to call my mum, and my mum was not impressed and had to come pick me up.
Was your mum aware of the mouse?
Oh, she knew that I had the mouse. Like, she bought it for me, but didn't realise I actually took it to school.
Yeah, well, it wasn't enrolled, you know, it wasn't paying.
School fees.
No, exactly.
Well, I thought so.
Yeah, I think that's a fair request from you, because it's not taking up any room, as long as it's not distracting you from your studies. Then ironically, you've actually been ratted out about the mouse by
literally
sitting next to you. Bianca, thanks for the call. Scary times right now, Jules. If you look into the news and you really can't look past the conflict currently in the Middle East,
yes.
Israel, Palestine, Hamas, Islamic State, there's lots of names being thrown around. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I see it all happen and I really don't know what's going on.
It's scary. It's overwhelming. But yeah, we don't feel exactly educated about it.
Someone who can explain a little bit more is from our very own newsroom, James Lakey joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Very, very good morning. Well, that's a lot of responsibility there too. Explain and understand this, because you're right, it's a bit of a confusing situation, and it's not really come out of nowhere, but it's probably caught the world by surprise on the weekend when Hamas did launch this essentially a terror attack on Israel. It's by firing rockets and killing hundreds of people at short notice without warning. So that's all happened on Saturday. What is it, Tuesday now? in a matter of 3 or 4 days. Israel says that it's now amassed about 300,000 troops ready to defend their country and essentially fight back. Israel declared war on the Gaza Strip and on Hamas at the weekend, I think late on Sunday night, yesterday our time. And Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to completely destroy the military and governing capabilities of Hamas, which is deeply rooted there in Gaza and ruled pretty much unchallenged since 2007. So this war, it's only just begun and it might go on for some time now.
James, from what I'm seeing in my news feed, you know, some celebrities are coming out supporting one side or another. What do we need to know in terms of like, who's the bad guys, or is it not that clear cut?
Oh, yeah. And this is one of the contentious thing of who are the good guys or who are the bad guys, right? So the Gaza Strip is this little bit of land, first of all, that's there on the eastern side of Israel. It's about 41 k's long, 10 k's wide. And at the moment, it is ruled by this group called Hamas. And Palestinians live there. And essentially, you know, the Palestinians and the Israelis are butting heads there, as they always have. The West Bank and Gaza, which they're pretty much called Palestinian territories, and they have been for some time, forever, essentially. They're also the lands of the Jewish kingdoms in the Bible and are seen by the Jews as their ancient homeland. But Israel was declared a state of its own back in 1948, though the land is still referred to as Palestine by the Palestinians. So the Palestinians essentially want their land back. That's what the whole argument has begun.
And so whether or not you, I guess, believe in one side or the other in that sense, with Hamas, like, as we said, touched on before, like, they're recognized and seen as a terrorist organization by Australia. We list them as a terrorist organization. Is it the issue that the way they've gone about trying to reclaim land, or the fact they're trying to do it at all?
I think both. The fact they're trying to do it all and the way they have tried to reclaim the land by launching a war. For years and years, there have been attempted peace talks, essentially, between Hamas or between the Palestinians and Israel without any real success. And other countries like the US have been involved in those attempted peace talks without any success, the United Nations as well. So it's really just come to a head now. And this year itself has been pretty deadly in terms of, you know, conflict and lives lost in fighting between Israel and Hamas. And so this attack now looks more like it's come to a head. There's been some real retaliation and it's led to this war.
Wow.
What happens now? What, like, do we have to, is they going to have to just, is one side going to have to fully eliminate the other, or is there an answer here?
I wish there was a quick answer. You know, we saw Russia invade Ukraine, was it over a year and a half ago now? We thought that might be over in a couple of weeks, and it's still going. I don't think this is something that will be done and dusted in a week or so. In terms of who else gets involved, you know, the United States is apparently sending warships to the region, but has also been told by other countries there in the Middle East to stay out of it. We know the US loves to get involved in conflict in the Middle East. Australia, we haven't been asked essentially to get involved at this stage, but Australia does have peacekeeping troops there in the Middle East. And our Foreign Minister Penny Wong has said that we have capability to assist with Israel, who are our ally if we're asked to, but at this stage, not. You know, and then there are the other questions that come about. What happens for the rest of the world's stability? Does this war expand and, you know, potentially Russia or China get involved? And what does it do to petrol prices, which are already high? They've been pushed up by the Russian conflict. Are they going to be even higher by this conflict? And, you know, it seems like a very minuscule thing to worry about putting fuel in our petrol tank when a country is being attacked, but, you know, there are real impacts that come and hit us at home.
Many flow-on effects, and obviously, as you said, flow-on effects, it's going to last for quite some time. We don't know when things are going to wrap, and of course, as we're, I think everyone across the world hoping for a peaceful resolution, whatever side, you know, comes out with a quote-unquote win. I don't know if that's really even on the cards. James Lake, from, of course, our newsroom, thank you so much for your time this morning and filling us in on what is a very dire situation in the Middle East currently.
I'm sure it's not the first time we'll talk about this one. Thank you, guys.
Across Australia, across our great nation, there is $2 billion almost going down the drain every single year on something that us Australians would arguably be using every single day.
A lot of money.
We're not. Almost $2 billion. Well, $1.9 billion is being spent, or not spent, on unused gym memberships.
So you sign up for a gym, and you don't use it, and by the time everything's said and done, A year's passed and you've donated to the gym.
Yes, they're essentially a charity. One in five people are sponsoring gyms, according to a survey website, Finder, which is just, it's just so much cash. And I suppose these one in five people are probably contributing the most when it comes to that collective amount of money.
That'd be a big chunk of that 1.9. I feel like there's a lot of people who probably, you know, don't go, you know, often enough to justify how much they spend, because gym memberships can get pretty exy, you know, some of them.
Oh my goodness. And then if you add in late fees, what if the fee has bounced off your account, you're moving money around or whatever. I went over to Europe and tried to pause my membership. I couldn't do that. I had to pay a fee every single week.
You had to pay a fee to pause it?
To pause it.
It's not pausing then, is it?
Which was cheaper than the weekly membership fee anyway, so I ended up doing it. But there's all this money that seems to go down. The average Australian gym goer spends, get this, $1,404 a year on their membership.
That's what the average person, that's what the people right now, because I know they play HIIT in gyms, which we love you for, but
yes,
there's what some gym goers right now are spending every year. Wow.
That's incredible. I wonder how many people are using every single dollar of that to their advantage.
You've got to be like me. You've got to use, you know, across, because I've said on the show, I have a couple of gym memberships.
You have a couple of them.
I utilize every gym facility, everything that I pay a single cent for.
Do you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah, I reckon I do.
You've crunched the numbers, you'd say.
I wouldn't say that I'm, let me do the math, I suppose.
Yeah, let's do it. Live numbers crunch.
Okay. So if I was to combine all the three gym memberships that I do have, because I have a regular gym.
He is health, he is fitness.
I have a gym that I can go to.
Your regular gym?
I have my regular gym. I have a gym with multiple locations for when I'm traveling and when I go visit my parents. And then I have like a group, like sort of fitness class gym thing as well.
Who are you?
I'm a guy that likes to exercise. I used two of them yesterday.
Some people are struggling to get there every day. You've got three.
I'm the opposite of this problem because I'm not wasting a cent.
You're not wasting a cent.
I'm spending, I've not done the math on this until now. And I feel honestly a bit garbage.
Have you got a drum roll there?
Yeah, I can drum roll. How much am I spending on a gym every year? Okay, well, look. Nope, sorry. That's the wrong style of drum, but it might be jokes on me in a second. Every year, according to just very basic math, I'm spending $4,368 on the gym. Jesus Christ. I need to reevaluate. I think, like, I love it, but that's too much money.
And you know how they say, like, well, if you just cut back on coffee, you could save yourself a bit of cash.
I've stopped having coffee so I can afford a fourth gym, I think.
That was the Nick and Jules podcast.